Hey y'all, this is Aurora Heights, and you're listening to Roar Out Loud, brought to you by Audibly Legible Radio Network and presented by Simplecast.
Yo. Welcome back to Audibly Legible Radio. We are introducing a new program today. We have a new intern with us here at Audibly Legible Radio Network, and she also has a very unique story that we, after having spoke with her and talked about, you know, what it would be like for her to do that, she talked about prospects in the future. So we're like, so let's try to make this happen. So right now I would like to introduce to you Aurora Davis.
Hi everybody, I am Aurora Davis, as said. I am also known as Aurora Heights in my musical life. This is going to be known as Roar Out Loud.
Yes.
So with that said, I am Aurora, obviously, and a lot of people also call me Roar. Just for short, because who knows what nicknames are anymore. Not very profound. And the Out Loud is just me finally finding my voice. I am a 24-year-old do-nothing, apparently, let my mom tell it. But I definitely am taking on this new role in myself to give myself a little bit of therapy from, you know, childhood trauma. And that's the thing with millennials these days. We don't really know how much trauma we really have until someone else tells us, yo, that story's crazy. So this is what I want to do, and I want to bring you guys in on my life. So we're going to journey together. Hopefully, you know,
indeed,
I can find something to help someone else with in my own story.
And as you guys know, as listeners of the other programs, that's what all of our programs aim to do, is to just try to help people with our stories. Everybody's got a story, right? And so we, like I said, we brought Aurora in, you know, just for an internship. And after having heard her story, you guys know that I have a 19-year-old son. And that gap, that generational gap, I think... a lot of people tend to think that it's almost impossible to try to understand, but I don't think really much changes. We all have experiences. It's just about how we deal with those experiences. And when I got to talking with her, it became apparent right away that she was very well spoken and had a lot to say about the things that she had experienced. And so with that being said, you know, it didn't take very much time for me to figure out that she represents a voice of this generation. And you know,
got me blushing over here.
You're a single mother, right?
Yes, you know? I am a single mother of a beautiful little baby girl who is 4 months today.
Yay.
Her happy name is birthday. Audrey. She's so gorgeous. Jesus.
Wonderful. And so, see, so, you know, to those of you ladies who are listening, that are getting in right now and listening for the first time, you know, we want to say first, welcome. And, you know, that there's a lot going on, and I could read a lot about things and try to understand as much as possible, and maybe I could understand those things, but it's a whole nother thing to get out there and meet with people who have actually went through these things. So that's why this is so much important, you know, like a lot of people, I mean, if there's guys watching, you know, I mean, this might be an eye-opener, you know?
Oh, definitely. I got some words.
You know?
Got some words for the guys.
I remember my boy DJ Word. I just want to say big up DJ Word and Orchid Raps. She's got a new album out. She's such a musician that I remember standing next to him and watching her perform on stage over at the showcase and telling him, you know, you really make guys feel... really, like, you know, like guilty for all the fucked up things that they ever did to women, That's what your music does. That's what it represents. And I just remember thinking, like, there should be a program, you know, with that same kind of, like, you know, I mean, look, you know, guys, and it goes across the board. It's not, you know, but I just, something I happen to ponder and remember. Anyways, I'm going to step away.
You know
away
what?
From
I
that.
Hate to put gender roles on that concept.
Yeah.
Because females are fucked up too.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
But I will say that in this generation, I find it so amazingly beautiful that, you know, people are really taking the time out to see the error in their ways and trying to fix them. Trying to fix these generational curses that, you know, I love you guys, but our people before us have totally just, you know, screwed us over on those
concepts. And it's about responsibility. It's about responsibility. There's a lot of passive-aggressive nature that's been passed down without having it been recognized as such. So there's a lot of misunderstanding due to experience, but not just experience. I think a lot of people, you know, they live inside of their lives, you know, they're just,
definitely,
you know, once you've created this, you know, web of deception around you, you find yourself in a place where it's like, you almost don't know what's true and what's not. And these are people that I've had to extract, literally.
Pluck them out.
You have to get them, you know, like a cyst, you know, go to Miss Pimple Popper and just have her, like, you know, like, remove it. But that's, and it's necessary because, I mean,
up until those people or people in general decide to pick through their own lives and decipher where they went wrong and what's going on, like, we're all going to be stuck in this little hole of depression, this little hole of anxiety. Like, anxiety was not a thing, you know, 50 years ago, but it was.
It was. I guess it was about different things. Yes. They were anxious about whether or not they were going to find decent work, you know.
Whether or not I can be a mom cooking at home all day. Like,
you
that's
know,
tough.
Whether
but
or not, yeah. Like, you know, that whole dichotomy of staying within that, like, I want to do something. I have something I want to contribute to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And being that cookie cutter, you know,
stuck and confined, you know, to your own little box.
Tradition, like ceremony, doing the same thing that you've been taught to do. And what I've come to realize in my experience, I've only been here 41 years, but it's about balance.
Truth.
And it really comes down to just knowing how to recognize the things that you've done that haven't served you well in your life and figuring out a way to wrong those or right those wrongs and try to be like
better.
Be more conscientious, just be more try to be a little bit more virtuous with what you do. And if anything hasn't taught us that, this whole quarantine thing has certainly, with the loss of life and, you know, the loss of jobs, the increase of the things like domestic violence, suicide, and everything, this is huge. This is detrimental to, I mean, it's flooded inside of the hip hop community, which is where I'm ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
So just extrapolate that, you know, think about all of the other communities that are literally being involved, you know, affected by this right now. Just, it really sucks. So that's all the more reason by what we're doing right here, what you're doing specifically, Aurora, like with this, and opening a channel of communication, right? So let me ask you, do you have any social media to share with people so that, like, you know, because I'm sure even after the first program, you're going to get people hitting you up and stuff, or, you know, shortly after, so they could find you? And
well, yeah, most definitely. I am on most social medias. I am very active, mostly on Instagram at @A_ROAAR, and as well as TikTok. But, you know, I'm not that funny, so I can't get with the TikTok. But Aurora Heights is my name on TikTok, so you can find me either way by looking up Aurora Heights. And my music is as well on Apple Music and other streaming platforms.
Okay. All right. So, that being said, now they're kind of getting an idea of who you are. Let's let's just kind of go back. We're going to, because these are 30-minute episodes, right? So we're just, you know, we're literally just sitting in here, guys. You guys know me. You guys know the way my I don't do no script or nothing. She just came in right now. It's like, hey, can we, you know, do, you know.
On a whim, let's work.
Let's work. So that's the idea. And so here we are. And literally, just to give you guys some context, after this, this is how much we wanted to bring some kind of content to you guys. We're going to discuss the days that this is all going to go on and put together a graphic. So you guys are on the ground floor level of Roar Out Loud.
Literally unplanned. Like, yeah. I wasn't expecting to even do it today. I was like, well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I prefer it this way better because I did not have much time. I have my little notes here, but I didn't have much time to really script out, you know, what I wanted to talk about. All I know is I want to sit here and I want to talk and therapy, sure. And, you know, give my own experience and give some insight on what I've done to try to make it better. Like, I will never say that I'm perfect, that I'm great or better than anybody, but I mean, me having overcome what I have overcome, I feel like it's all the more reason to tell my story. And I wanted to write a book. I actually have it in the works.
That's coming.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. But it's super tough to write. That's the hardest part. Writing it's a lot harder than just sitting here and talking with a buddy, talking with a friend, because, you know, you're alone with your own thoughts. And a lot of the time, I don't know about anybody else, but me having childhood trauma, I pushed it down and I buried that thing deep. And now I'm able to sit and laugh about stuff, but I never really took the time out to work through stuff. I just buried it down and went over it. And, you know, I'm going to hop over that before I go through that. So,
yeah. Well, that's okay. We're giving them an overview of exactly what they can, because this is a self-care program. This program is literally that, like, for those who are, you know, struggling, you know, maybe you're feeling some kind of way, but I mean, it's not going to all just, let me be clear about that. This isn't all going to be about struggle. There's going to be a lot of talk about success and good right. things that to come out of this. But right now, you know, in order for you to understand what the nighttime is, you got to have the daytime
mm-hmm.
to put it next to. So
balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay. So we're about halfway through our first program. So just to give them an introduction, where do you want to start this as far as like telling a story so that you could tell it in your way from your side, but being objective at the same time and being able to, like, you know, bring it all together so that you can see how what you went through has made you the person that you are today.
Well, I'd love to start at the beginning.
Sure.
I mean, there's definitely a plethora of stories, but I guess the main one that I try not to let ever get to me, because, you know, it was something that had absolutely nothing to do with me, something that happened to me. It isn't me myself. I am adopted.
Sure.
You know, but my adoption story isn't as cookie cutter or as easy as most people, you know, who would have a closed adoption would have gone through.
Right.
I was only a month old when I was adopted. I was actually adopted with my biological brother.
Right.
Shout out to Michael, wherever you are. My poor baby, I love you. And I mean, I would have never known that I was adopted until it was brought to me. And it was brought to me in the wrong way when I was 7 years old by a family member of mine who was extremely pissed off at me for God knows what reason. You could be mad at a 7-year-old,
right,
you know?
Right.
She came to me and she's like, yo, you don't belong in this family. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I'm just keep playing. And then it kind of dawned on me, like, I'm looking around my family and everybody is dark skin and I am not dark skin. And everybody, you know, kind of has a different look to them. And I'm just like, okay, well, what does she mean? Like, I'm a light skinned kid. Like, because my mom used to tell me all the time, like, you're not white, you're black. Okay, cool. But looking at my skin, I'm like, I'm a little whiter than most black people, honestly. Yeah. So, I mean, with that said, I went to her and I was like, yo, she said, like, I don't belong in this family. Like, can you tell me what that means? And she goes, well, I mean, that was disrespectful of her, but you're adopted. If that's what she meant, like, that's the story. And my mom never really tried to smooth it over. She was always very straightforward with me. Like, never, oh, honey, everything's going to be okay. My mom's not like that. My right. mom is the HBIC.
Oh, wow.
For sure. That wow. is who she is in her own right. And I will never take that away from her. And she just, you know, told me like it was. And instantly, like, I broke down crying. But I didn't even know why I was really crying because I don't really know what that means. Like, I'm a 7-year-old kid. Like, what does adoption mean?
Yeah. And being someone as myself, everybody knows my story. Like, I've been adopted myself. Like, I was already privy to what the adoption was. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more complex than the stuff that goes in with my story that, you know. So what I mean to say is, you're 7 years old, you're finding this out. Like, your mom was honest with you, your adopted
brutally,
mom,
very
right?
brutally okay. honest.
And how, so from that, did that change the dynamic of the relationship between your mom and yourself?
Absolutely. It changed her dynamic with everyone. My mom is already this closed off person. She's been married and divorced 5 times. And by the time I came into the picture, I was a month old. I want to say she was around her later 50s or early 50s, one of those. And she had already divorced her 5th husband. And so I never grew up with a father figure in my life.
Wow.
So she definitely kind of changed her view on everybody. And she, with her saying, oh, yeah, you're adopted, she also went to her and was like, well, guess what? Your mom's adopted, too. I never had any of you. So, I mean, I laugh at it now, but it's like, yo, that's kind of effed up. No one really knew that all of us are adopted. We just all are thinking like, oh, this is our mom. That's it. You know, there was nothing else to think.
And that's a difficult dynamic, you know, being that I was literally that same age when I found out, it messed with me in the sense that, I was told I couldn't tell anybody, you know, and so whereas with you finding out like without wanting to know, like I asked the question myself when, you know, yeah. I was like, Mom, who's Kathy? And, you know, like we would get the phone calls from you know, the jail and I asked her. But in this case, this was something that was unwarranted, right?
Definitely.
This was out of spite. And like not cool, right? Especially for a young child or whatever you may have been. I mean, I understand, like, trust me, there's many kids that I want to smack the shit out of, you know what I'm saying? You know, but
kids are mean. Kids, you know, they're brutal.
But at the same time, like, there's a certain level of cruelty to that, you know, in mm-hmm. that. So I can see that. I can see how that changed you. But so you said that it changed the dynamic between your mom and everybody because now everybody was on blast, right?
True. She made it known, like, yo, everybody in here is not from me, but I raised all of you. And she took away, like, the idea that we appreciate her in that, with those words, like, you know, you guys don't really care what I do for you. Because you're all worried about this.
You're more concerned with whether or not you came from me than what I've done for you.
Yes, exactly.
Which, I mean, in being a mom, you mm-hmm. can kind of see her point, though, right?
I absolutely see her point, but I feel like in everything, and you're going to hear this a lot from me, there is a thing about approach.
Sure.
It's how you approach things that Tact. Really matter. Like,
yeah.
You can say, like, hey, yeah, you're definitely adopted, but I still love you more than anything sure. in this world. I took my time and my efforts to raise you to who you are today.
Right.
And that's the biggest difference. I always wanted to adopt kids.
Right.
That was a plan of mine. After having one, I'm like, I'm one and done. I'm good. Like, she sure. fills me enough. And you know, a lot of the time people use children as a way to fill their life with something.
Yeah, or a lot of different things. They use them as emotional leverage,
financial stability.
We could go on for days about that one.
For sure.
But okay, so the idea is things significantly changed, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the obvious question is, like, I know that for myself, I changed my perspective even as a young kid. Like, you come up and you're kind of like just download. I think I said this when we talked last time, how for the first 7 years of child development, it's just kind of like buffering, you mm-hmm. know, you're just kind of like just soaking.
Shoots of memory.
Yes, exactly. But at the end of that, right, now I'm in this place where I'm starting to have like this self-awareness. I'm aware that I'm a person that's here, a part of this family. And in the midst of that, I'm hit with this, you know, but you're not really like a part of the immediate family. You're a part of the immediate family by association still, you know, but one critical person is missing. And, you know, so it becomes this thing. It's like, well, who am I? Where am I? And a lot of, there isn't at least from what I'm seeing, a lot of discussion being placed in the realm of people like us, not just the adopted kids, but
kids in the system.
In the system, right? And
the flawed, very flawed. I want to change that one day system.
You see? And see, even just by this, you know, this community service that we do by sharing our, like, this is what volunteer work is really kind of all about at its core, is being able to find the people that have these stories that are willing to, you know, testify their, you know, give their own testimonies of the brutalness. You know, I'm willing to talk about the fact that, you know, I've felt things, but what has it done for me? You know, like, how has my being inside of my feelings affected me, and not just me, the people around me? So that's where, like, these inconsistencies in life have a tendency to help us grow.
The thing about adopted kids, and a lot of them that I have spoken with, we always go through that identity crisis of, yeah, why didn't they want me? Where did they go? Like, why couldn't they just stick around? Like, I could have had the same parents, but you could have stayed. You know, you could have got to know me, but that's all pride. That is all the human flaw of pride
ego.
In a person. Ego and pride. Like, you definitely, as a parent, you know, after you've failed so hard, you've fallen on your face so many times. And with, you know, my biological family, she had 7 tries and effed them all up, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't win a single one of those battles. And it's hard because, I mean, in that era, drugs was a thing, you know. Different trials that they had to go through,
sure,
which I don't take away from them. You know, you definitely had a disease or had a problem that caused these things.
And remember, too, that the people who have kind of contributed generationally to this degradation of the human experience, so to speak, have had experiences themselves that a lot of times that they didn't have, you know. But there wasn't
things, for sure.
There wasn't platforms like podcasts in that time to, like, you know, just say, hey, I don't even care if it's a couple people that are listening to this, you know, I want to be heard. You're not alone. Right. And that's the whole thing. That's where it's like, I think that cuts across generations. I think that we all have that. It's just that some people deal with it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some people that out flat out, like, oh, you bunch of wusses and da 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 da, you should just da 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 da, are literally people that have suffered from some kind of trauma that they just haven't faced yet. And I guess it's all about who, you know, you know, that guy who's struggling, you know, who does he go home and watch? You know, he goes home and watches Gunsmoke, or he goes home and watches freaking, you know, John Wayne. Well, if John Wayne would have been more vocal about, maybe then he would, you know, mm-hmm. like, and that's what it has a lot to do with influence, you know, and, yeah. and where, you know, I try to be objective about everything, my position, my stance on things. And, that's why I knew that this program is going to be, I was telling my wife, I was like, this is going to be one of our top programs. I know it, just because of the subject matter. Like, I know that there's going to be a lot of women listening. It's probably going to be the largest part of the demographic, but I have a feeling that there's going to be some men that are going to be listening. And not because they're trying to get notes or trying to figure, you know, I think we're at a time now where people are really trying to heal, mm-hmm. you know.
Especially our generation. And yeah. that's the thing, like, the before us people have all said, oh, the millennials are the most messed up generation. Probably true. Not going to lie to you. But the thing is that we're either going to do one of two things. We're going to drink it out or talk it out. So.
Well, this is one thing I figured out, though. You didn't just think about it. It's not like, it's like a presidency, right? It's not like someone can come in and just undo what has been done for so many years. You know, you guys are the product of a bad generational raising, you know, but the generations before us, let's be fair. Like, I'm part of Generation X. I represent Generation X. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, before you guys, we were considered the laziest and we were this and mm-hmm. we were that. And it's always, you know, you got to always question the source of where these things come from. Life is like a bad version of the game Telephone. You know,
right.
where this, you know, the original signal that went out from the first end is not what's out there. It's not what's out there right now. So you guys, you know, I'm going to always say this. The subject matter that we cover on these programs requires some kind of critical thinking. You guys can't be just in this linear, well, this is the way I thought, this is what my mom and dad always voted, and this is the way, you know, that's not going to cut it. I'm going to tell you guys.
Big picture.
You know, you guys got to really start to look at things objectively, do your own independent research, and I'm not talking about just Google. And if you're going to do Google, make sure you use 3 different resources.
You Jesus know? Christ, read a book.
Please, by all means. There's so many. If you guys want to, we'll put together a read list, you know what I'm saying? So that you guys have something to kind of like, so that when you come back, you'll understand some of the references and the context. Anyways, so as we, you know, we're just touching base on the first things that we wanted to like introduce you guys to. This program is going to be covering mostly, she's going to be showing up, right? And talking with you guys, like I'm showing her a little bit about how to do audio engineering and all of this, because I'd like to see her become independent and be able to do this and take this on her own. She's, you know, shouts out Risa and Culture Fuzz out there, all the women in podcasting. It's a big thing right now, you know. This is how we're gonna heal, and we're doing it program by program, episode by episode. We're talking it out. And, you know, so to wrap up, what do you like? What would you want to like say to anybody? Do you want to like say hello to anyone right now? Like real quick, you know?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing I want my people to know, all the people that know me and don't know me, my love is music, for one. So everyone that has helped me get here. To my musical life, to my world of love for music. A couple years ago, I didn't know I could do it. But you people helped me out, got me to where I am. Biggest shout out to Asha and L'Oreal, my best friends. They ride or die for me all day, every day, and they are by my side in my heart right now. But for sure, I have, you know, some good people around me, and I good. Will continue to share that with you guys.
Good. Well, I'm going to say it's been cool. This is going to be our first episode, so we just wanted to welcome you guys. So welcome to Roar Out Loud, Audible Legible Radio, presented by Simplecast. We're going to work out the schedule for you guys. So as soon as we have it all worked out, you guys will have it. And
ride along yeah, with me.
Get involved. All right, folks. So until the next time, I want to say thank you and peace.
Bye.